Francis Leach joins us again to talk sport. Hello, Francis.
Hi, Fran.
Well, let's talk Wimbledon because Nick Kyrgios, best and worst of Nick on display as he won at Wimbledon yesterday.
Yes, he's a temperamental young man, and we've seen it in the past. It was on display yesterday as he beat Diego Schwartzman in straight set 6-love, 6-2, 7-6. He had a bit of a meltdown, I think, in the middle of the second set, and sat down in the chair and seemed to be talking to himself, but could he have been directing it at the umpire, suggesting he was going on strike and he wasn't going to continue until he spoke to the match referee? Eventually got on with it and won easily enough, showing the talent that stunned Wimbledon last year when he raced through the first week of the draw and beat World number one Rafael Nadal and had everyone talking about him. But it is that part of his game that he needs to rid himself of, Fran.
Yeah, well, though he did win, I suppose. Not so Leighton Hewitt. We've talked about that a fair bit this morning, but we should mention that the Wimbledon Warrior has bowed out of Wimbledon for the final time. In AFL, Francis, the Gold Coast Suns are in damage control as the fallout continues from Carmichael Hunt's leaked statement to the Queensland Crime and Corruption Commission.
Yeah, it's something that they're planning to address this week when they will ask the players to decide whether they will front up and talk about whether they were involved in any drug-taking in end-of-season celebrations. Now, Carmichael Hunt's testimony to the Queensland Crime and Corruption Commission has disappointingly, from his perspective, and his lawyers, been leaked, and it suggested that up to six players, or maybe 12, depending on who was at the two incidents he discussed, had been using cocaine that he had allegedly sourced for the players. This has left the club red-faced because they had previously said that they had spoken to players who had denied being involved in any drug taking. Suns chief executive Andrew Trevor said he had not had access to the statement itself, nor had the allegations have been verified. So it's through the newspaper they're having to deal with this, and they seem to be chasing their tail a little bit, Fran.
Yeah, sure. And in Test cricket, it's going to look very different. The very first day-night Test match will be held in Adelaide later this year. What's the thinking here?
Yeah, November 27 to December 1st, New Zealand has finally agreed to play this day-night test match against Australia in Adelaide as a trade-off, in a sense, to become regular participants in the Trans-Tasman series. Now, we haven't had regular Trans-Tasman test cricket since November 2001, and the Kiwis love this series more than anything and feel like they've been locked out. So they've, begrudgingly agreed to play this day-night test match with the pink cricket ball, which has always been the sticking point. Now, the reason why we haven't had day-night test cricket in the past is because they have never been able to produce a cricket ball of the right colour, which would be visible under lights, which would survive the 80-odd overs it would be required to in order for the players to be comfortable playing with it. So this is going to go ahead. It's delighted the television executives at Nine because they expect ratings and, by extension, revenue to rise because of it. And it's supposed to be the future of Test cricket, which has had dwindling crowds around the world, except for the Ashes series predominantly, and is looking for a new way to recast the game. So we'll watch with interest. And Adelaide Oval will be a fantastic venue for it. It's a superb spot for Test cricket, but it'll be a very different to the Adelaide Test matches we've known in the past, Fran.
Yeah, absolutely. A little cooler too, I'd imagine. Francis, thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow. Francis Leach from Grandstand.